radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Fourth down at 8. Murray, pressure's coming. Murray's hit as he throws. Looking for Hollywood Brown. Broken up! Broken up by Steven Nelson!
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, November 20th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant, dressed like a corrupt politician on yet another Victory Monday. Your beloved Houston Texans, 6-4 after a 21-16 win over Kyler Murray, who looks like Kyler Murray again, and the Arizona Cardinals. And you know what we're going to do, baby. When there's a good team in town, we go full bandwagon with that team. Even if there were some things along the way that you have questions about, carelessness by C.J. Stroud down the stretch, I came away from yesterday's game thinking, finally, we have a game that we can point to and say, yeah, DeMeco Ryans, pretty good as a head coach. And I think to this point in the year, you look at DeMeco Ryans and you just notice that the Texans' locker room seems happier, less suicidal. That's what winning does. But now, a game like yesterday, where you're going up against the Catman, Kyler Murray, his quick little feetsies, a guy who is very good at escaping pressure, extending plays. You know that word, that 5-letter word that DeMeco Ryans was trying to sell t-shirts of this offseason? Swarm. Well, the swarm mentality, I mean, it's definitely there. And if I go back to yesterday's game and think about the C.J. Stroud interceptions and think about the way that the defense played for the entirety of this game, this is a DeMeco Ryans victory. Does it matter who gets credit for the victory? No, it doesn't. But yesterday, because of what the team was able to do defensively, I'm giving it to DeMeco. This was, I thought, after the first drive of the game where Jalen Petrie or somebody else fell asleep at the wheel on that Rondale Moore 48-yard touchdown catch. From that point on, I thought that the defense really made it difficult for an Arizona offense that maybe doesn't have that many skill players around Kyler Murray, but it still has Kyler Murray. And Murray, I think, has looked pretty damn good in the first two games that he's been back this year. But the Texans smacked the hell out of him. Derek Stingley got an interception. Yeah, he got beat on the play. It's fine. He still caught the ball. And you had guys like Christian Harris and Blake Cashman running all over the field in a game where Denzel Perryman was wrongfully convicted and suspended by the NFL. They didn't miss him at all. I thought it was a really good performance by the defense. And now here we are trying our hardest the week of Thanksgiving to get hyped for a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you've got thoughts on the game, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. But I think this was a DeMeco dub. DeMeco dub Monday. Offense wasn't bad, but it made mistakes. Defense, after that first drive, I thought, was pretty damn good. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Hello, sir. Good morning, afternoon. Thoughts on the game?
It's 10 o'clock.
That's why I said morning, afternoon. It's a new word. It's a new day.
It's not the afternoon. I'm doing good. Good dub. DeMeco dub might be a drop that we need.
DeMeco dub club.
Yeah. DeMeco dub. Basically, whenever they, score less than 30 points and win, it's a DeMeco dub. Maybe 26.
Are those the rules that we're going to have going forward?
It feels like if they win or if they score like 24 or less and win, I feel like it's a DeMeco dub because that means you held them under 20.
And three consecutive fourth down stops to close out the game.
Yes.
Those were key. You know, it's good when your defense stops the other team from getting a first down.
Yes, and this is the Arizona Cardinals we're talking about. With Kyler Murray, they're a little bit better of a team, but you could tell some of the receivers he was throwing to, especially some of the their defensive front is not not exactly awesome. I think it was pretty easy for Singletary to get out to the outside, way easier than it was for any Texans running back the last 10 weeks. Or no.
Before 2 weeks, man. Devin Singletary, best running back in the NFL the last 2 weeks.
Before the Cincinnati game, no one had ever run as well as Devin Singletary had today, and definitely not yesterday. So I do think there is a little bit of, like, playing the Cardinals, you look a little bit better. Greg Dortch was their one of their leading receivers.
All right, I got – listen, this is going to sound perhaps problematic.
Oh, no.
What? Have you ever heard of a black man named Dortch? That's all I'm saying.
Problematic.
It might be, but that is an interesting last name.
Dortch.
What is that, German?
I don't know.
I look at that and...
Is he German? Is Greg...
Wake Forest, not in Germany. But yeah, I had no idea who the hell that was. And I was like, wait, why is he open? And also, wait, is he their best receiver?
Yeah. That is a very Wake Forest last name, though.
He's 5'7". He's their own little Tank Dell. But he doesn't have as cool of a name.
I mean, that's all. I was thinking that too. That's all Arizona's offense is. Yeah. Kyler Murray throwing to Dortch and Hollywood Brown.
It's a great offense for the shorts. And look, there's lots of short people out there. And we don't hate you. You don't have a control over that. And it's really expensive to get leg extensions. It's really expensive. It's not fair, honestly. It's not fair. You know, it's hard. It's hard to be a smaller man in today's world, whether you're Kyler Murray or Tank Dell or Greg Dortch. But guess what? Those guys have made it work in the NFL. If you're a short king in your car, you could do that too. If you try hard, if you work hard every day, you could be a short real king too. But shout out to our short kings.
Shout out to Napoleon.
Shout out!
The movie Napoleon.
I can't wait till that comes out.
You
know that movie.
That is so for you.
It is so for me. And it's going to... Here is my apology in advance. There will be nonstop references.
March in whatever.
Is C.J. Stroud the football equivalent of Napoleon? I can't say that because he's short. Is Tank Dell at wide receiver after a game like yesterday the football equivalent of Napoleon?
I saw in the previews that he apparently fires a cannon at the Egyptian pyramids.
Nice.
That's awesome. And then people were like, actually, that never happened.
Well, it should have happened.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It's a movie, dude. Go watch a documentary.
I love how in the trailer as well, and yes, we'll get back to the Houston Texans, but I love how in the trailer for this movie, there's like the love interest, the significant other of Napoleon is clearly a tramp, just a tramp. And you know what? It would have been cool to be a tramp back in the 1700s, just like they shamed those short kings in 2023. Tramps not accepted in the 1700s, but hey, not a tramp. Bell up the ball. D'Amico Ryans. Did you hear D'Amico Ryans' speech after the game? He's a lot more energetic when he speaks to his players than when he speaks to us, the media. Is that a problem? No, it's not. Here is D'Amico Ryans' victory speech before today, Victory Monday.
Hey, when can we not have a heartbreaker? Oh, hey, love it, man. Love it. Hey, everything that could have went wrong right there, it doesn't matter. We found a way to win.
Yes, sir.
We found a way to win.
Yes, sir.
That's what good teams in this league do.
Yes, sir.
Right? We find a way to win. It doesn't matter. Defense, way to stand up.
Yes,
right? Way to stand up. Right? Hey, everything about what we do, we have each other back. Yeah. Right? Oh, we got your back. Mm-hmm. All right? Everybody, fighting for each other. We play complimentary football. This is a family. We keep it tight.
Ooh.
Texas! Four!
Yes, sir, indeed.
Texas! Four!
We're going to do that here on out, Sean. This is the most...
After every show?
Oh, yeah. We should.
Before we leave it.
We should. Well, have
o'clock.
You not bought in, Sean? Huh?
No, I'm bought in. It's just...
Doesn't sound bought in right now.
I feel like Connor and Beard would have some complaints about us yelling swarm in the middle of their show every day.
So?
Yeah.
Listen, the rules be the rules, and there are no rules in radio. That's what I always say.
You do always say that.
I always say that.
Always confused.
There's no rules in radio. Nothing. Right. Yeah. Listen, here's the thing with what D'Amico said, with what I say. If you're winning, the content of your words doesn't actually matter. Can you imagine Jonathan Gannon trying to pull off the same thing? Well, actually, no, because he'd probably be himself in the middle of it, or at least perform some sort of Howard Dean-esque bia moment like he did during the offseason. Swing, 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 swing. But if you're winning, doesn't matter what you say. But they are buying into what D'Amico Ryans is bringing to the table. And I thought that in a game where the Texans' offense shot itself in the foot a lot, that D'Amico Ryans' defense is the reason that they won. And we'll see if that's something that they can replicate against Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars this coming Sunday. An observation, though. I think some of you guys have to look yourself in the eye after what you did yesterday. I question your commitment level. What am I talking about? You'll find out next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
Penguin goalie Peter Skudra says, "Hey, try not to shoot that puck up my pooper. I'll shoot the puck anywhere I want. And if that happens to be in your pooper, so be it."
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Texans trying to get some points at the end of this half. They also will get the football to begin the second half. Stroud on first down. He was looking downfield. He's going downfield toward the end zone. Down, leaping grab. He's got it. Touchdown, Texans!
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, that play was insane. First off, Stroud being able to get the ball out like that, again, so effortless on just about every single one of his touchdown passes. Then on top of that, Tank Dell, our fearless short king, getting up there to make the catch. That was a beautiful play. And I thought at that moment in time that the Texans were going to run away with that game. They probably should have. In the first half, the offense did close to a perfect job. Second half, from the missed field goal on, the Stroud interceptions, a couple of three and outs, they did allow the Cardinals to get back in this game. And we almost went same old Texans. We almost did. Remember on Friday where, yeah, we have all the positive vibes going forward. We still were a little bit nervous about the potential of a same old Texans kind of moment. And guess what? Didn't happen on Sunday, but it did get a little bit close. Lone Ranger 614 comments on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Paul will say this was another blowout 4-point win. Well, it should have been. It's not as fun to say it was a blowout 4-point win, 5-point win this time around, when you're doing it against a 2-9 team, 2-8. It's a little bit different. But if it's against a team like the Bengals, who at that moment in time still had Joe Burrow, see, that, my friends, that you can say, yeah, it actually would have been a blowout. Should have been a blowout. And it was a blowout. Because guess what? You got to manifest that positive energy every single day. Greatest day of your lives. Sunday was the biggest game of the season for the Houston Texans. And guess what? Next Sunday is biggest game of the season for the Houston Texans. But today is a victory Monday. We do have some comments as well on the Twitch about my wardrobe. I'm wearing a suit. Did a little TV with Fox 26 and Nate Griffin this morning. Hack-a-Shack comments, Goofus wears a t-shirt on a victory Monday. Gallant puts his best suit on. This is an upgrade, some would argue, over the Texans starter jacket that I have. But I'm not going to lie. I feel a little cold in here, Sean, without my Texans starter jacket on. I feel like I'm not celebrating the victory and the vibes as much as I could without my Texans starter jacket and without my battle red sunglasses.
Yeah, no. I mean, but it does speak to, you know, this was a, you know, the Texans against the Cardinals took care of business, Paul. That's why you're wearing a suit.
That's right.
I really wish I could say it was a business trip, but It was a home game, and
but it was a business trip.
This week's also a home game. It was a business trip to NRG Park. That's what it was.
You know, Sean, just like every game is the biggest game of the season, and just like every day is the biggest day of your life, every day is also a business trip. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that hustle mindset like I do. And,
oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's why I'm one of the biggest hustle influencers in Houston.
Yeah.
Because people listen to me for advice. Like, ignore your alarm clock 37 times before you finally get up for alarm number 38, you know? And maybe feed your pet in the morning, but sometimes forget just to keep them guessing. Because, you know, they got to go out and approach every single day like it's a business day as well. And maybe you set the coffee machine the night before, but it's even better for you to wait until the absolute last minute to set the coffee machine that has an automatic starter for you. So, you know, that this is how it's done. You know, every day's a business trip, and approach every single day the same way you would going to work, you know, where you don't want to probably.
A hungry cat runs faster.
It does run faster. That's for sure, Sean Babes behind the glass. See, just giving advice here. OG from H-Town comments, is this gay politician cosplay? Again, no one should be assuming anyone's sexuality in 2023.
Now, Congressman Gallant, what were you doing in that truck stop?
Well, I do declare.
I just have a wide stance. I'm sorry.
Listen, I went to that truck stop. I did not stop for any philandering, as you have suggested right here. I went merely because I wanted to get some of those Buc-ee's pecan nuts in my mouth. I just wanted to get all the nuts, and I just wanted to put them right in my mouth.
Some glazed nuts.
Well, I love glazed nuts. Who doesn't love a fresh pair of glazed nuts? But more than a pair when you're talking about pecans. In fact, you just want all of the pecan nuts you can have in your mouth. You just get a bowl in both your cheeks, and you just puff them out like that.
Sean's laughing. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm just talking about pecan nuts at a Buc-ee's. I have a question for you guys, because honestly, you people. Yeah, I said you people. You guys have some explaining to do. NRG Stadium. I mean, they just beat the Bengals. Joe Burrow didn't get hurt against the Texans. He got hurt against the Ravens in Thursday Night Football. Or maybe he was hurt going into the game. Whatever the case, they just beat the Bengals. And I get it. It's the Cardinals. But that stadium, considering how well the Texans have been playing of late, did feel a little empty. And I don't know if this is just a Houston thing where people show up late, or if the tailgate food also had like their own version of just nuts, where everyone was just stuffing nuts in their cheeks in the parking lot. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that was happening. What I do know is that the vibes aren't quite where they need to be. I think some of the other stations in town have had debates about, should you go to the game early? Listen, noon is early. Noon is early on a Sunday. I did make it. I got there, sat down in time, despite going to the Renaissance Festival on Saturday and getting absolutely lit, and then staying out until 4 in the morning chasing a absolutely terrible woman to Bauhaus. You know, like, I did those things. I did them, and I still showed up. I still showed up on time. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? Yeah, I'm still behaving like a child, and I'm still showing up to the game on time. Sean, you didn't even go to the game. What's up with that?
No, I didn't.
What's up with that?
Sorry. I got to be better. And I won't be able to go to this game just because I'll be out of town. But
you know what? I'm flying back early from seeing my family, who I only get to see like twice a year, so I could go watch Texans Jaguars. I'm in it to win it, baby. Where are you guys? Are we going to show up? No. Oh, why's that? What do you got? What do you got better to do on a Sunday morning?
See my family.
Family. Come on. There's only one family. And you heard D'Amico Ryans talk about it.
It's the one that swarms.
Yeah. It's the swarming family. Look, there were MVP chants in the middle of yesterday's game. That was nice. I feel like J.J. Watt might have had that in 2015. I looked up tweets by me because I've been to pretty much every single game at NRG Stadium outside of 2020 and 2021.
Humble brag.
What? I mean, your boy's been covering the team for a while. I think there might have been a time in 2015 where they were doing MVP chants for J.J. Watt. And I feel like I grumpily tweeted about it. MVP chance, please. It's a different me, a less positive me, a less happy and fulfilled me. But after the game, CJ Stroud was asked about those MVP chances. And yet again, here he is. He's got to beg you people to show up on time.
I really didn't hear it, but I appreciate it. But yeah, it's cool. Hopefully, man, I keep playing good and keep putting wins together. And that's definitely in my goals, not only for this year, but I mean, for every year. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm focused on one play, one game at a time. And knowing how people are so wishy-washy, I know I don't know if I'm still in that race. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But nah, man, I think this game, man, it's the testament of like who is going to not blink and who's going to just keep going. And for me, I mean, that's how kind of the adversity that I've been dealt, not only in my football career, but in life. So I'm going to just keep going, man. And I think I put another great performance together. Was blessed enough to have a great game throwing the ball. But, of course, you got to eliminate the turnovers. But I appreciate the fans doing that and appreciate them, man. We're going to need them for sure next week. Like, Jacksonville is a great team. Playing them twice, and it's hard to beat a team twice. So we got to bring our A game, and their energy, that definitely helps.
Have you guys noticed what the Texans are posting on social media before these games because they know you're going to show up late? And again, if you want to show up late, show up fashionably late. We do live in a region of the South. I do declare it is much better for me to show up about 15 to 20 minutes into the game. That way I know what the vibe of the party is. But the Texans are posting on social media these PSAs that make it seem like it's going to be tough to get into the stadium. And I think they said, well, there's a lot of construction around the stadium. If there was, I didn't notice it. Because again, I left for the stadium a lot later than I ideally would have liked to, thanks to the Renaissance Festival and Bauhaus extravaganza. You know, it's one of those things that seems to be a Houston thing, as brought up by a couple of commenters here. Willie C100 is blaming church. If the Texans had a late game, people would show up. Well, they do have a 3 o'clock game against the Broncos coming up. What else do we have here? Lone Ranger 614 says, thought about going, but the traffic getting out is bad. Okay, like, maybe, but is this more a Houston thing, showing up late because the Astros had this problem too? Or is this just a NFL games aren't that fun to watch in person?
Well, that is true. That is, going to a game earlier this year, you are like, wow, I just missed. I mean, I got to watch this one, got to watch the J.J. Watt retirement ceremony. And then by the time I get home, it's halftime of all the afternoon games. And you're like, cool, sick. It is a tough thing. I feel like a primetime game would be a little bit more fun just because of the lack of FOMO. But even then, it's still like,
I don't know, man. I don't trust people to show up on time.
It's still like a football, like, I don't know. There is a little bit of a football problem where it is like so much better now at home to watch. Not just
you don't have to wear pants.
Not just
the
noon slate, but also like any game. Any game is better. Yeah.
I'm not going to get assaulted by somebody. I mean, there are definitely perks to staying at home. And not to say that assaults happen at Texans games. I didn't see any brawls go viral this time around, so that's nice. That's cool.
I will say, though, you asking is showing up late like a Houston thing. In my lifetime, I have such a low percentage of showing up like before the national anthem. Like, I always come in and it's always like maybe 5 minutes into the game. Just like personally. I'm bad at it.
That is a problem.
Yes.
And you have to be better.
You know what? I am from Houston, so.
But you're
shrug emoji.
Sean, you're a reflection of me. And we need you to show up slightly on time.
Slightly on time.
Slightly on time. You know, just like I show up here at 9:55 a.m. every day, or just like I show up at NRG Stadium at 11:56 every Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, we still need to get here on time.
I need to show up early enough to where...
I'm not being Tom Coughlin here. I'm not saying that...
That's what the Texans need to do.
It needs to be 5 minutes before 15 minutes, which is 20 minutes early. I'm not doing that. But clearly, whatever the Texans are trying is not working, and it's weird because they're winning and playing well, and it's a watchable, fun product for a change. And someone commented, hey, like, that... that actually was the fullest and loudest the stadium's been in years. With Texans fans, sure, no doubt. Still, though, you would have thought this would be the game. Maybe it's going to be on Sunday against the Jaguars, who are in first place. It is a battle for first place. It is a battle for first place. I don't know, though, because it is the Jaguars. Like, the Jaguars are low-key boring.
It's also, what, 2 days after Thanksgiving or 3 days after Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it should be fine. It should be fine. It's not like a college football game where you're like, well, all the students are back home. Like, there's enough people have Thanksgiving in Houston to where they should be able to also go to a game 3 days later. But, you know.
Yeah.
It is the Jags. And the Jags are kind of boring. Low-key.
High-key. They're high-key boring.
High-key? Wow. Are they low-key mid?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're 7-3 and they just beat the hell out of the Titans on Sunday, but I mean,
Yeah, I think they're low key mid.
Yeah, low key mid. Not high key, low.
No.
High key.
The record's still the record, but they're low key kind of.
That's true. You are what your record is.
Bill Parcells. Mm-hmm. Shout out.
Shout out to Bill Parcells. Dr. Dre on 290 suggests crowd noise, pumping in crowd noise. Let's do that. Honestly, let's do it. Why not? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The AFC playoff picture is getting better and better for your Houston Texans. And let's laugh at the misfortune of other NFL teams that we used to be laughing at ourselves for not that long ago. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The worm is the spice. The spice is the worm.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
When you got seven back there, you probably should be scared to get a ball back with some time, man, because he's a special man. Like, he's a special football player. And like I said, when he stepped on the field, he's the best player out there, so... I don't know how they felt, but you should feel.
Texans beat the Cardinals 21-16 yesterday. That's Tank Dell, who caught a long touchdown pass from C.J. Stroud. He said that Stroud is always the best player on the field and that the Cardinals should be scared of Stroud there in reference to the Cardinals' clock management at the end of the game. Was interesting to see the way that they handled it. Clearly, they wanted to have the last possession and not give C.J. Stroud a chance like he had in the previous two games to drive the Texans down the field for go-ahead field goal or go-ahead touchdown.
So, watching the game, we're having the conversation of how much time... Like, if the Cardinals score here, how much time would be too little time for you to, like, be confident that C.J. should... Like, what's the tipping point of, like... If it's 50 seconds left, you still believe in C.J. Stroud to get at least
seconds.
A field goal.
22 seconds.
22 seconds.
22
they
seconds.
They did have all three timeouts, so that also helps.
If you have all three timeouts, I would say less than 20 seconds. You're pushing
plays.
It. Yeah. You're pushing it. Generally, 20 seconds is good enough for three plays, even with the timeouts. But 22, you might be able to get one more in.
Okay.
What? But, it's usually about seven seconds
for
a play.
It is just funny how, like, 1 second, you're like, there's an extra play.
It is, though. That is. It is. Especially if you're trying to get down the field really quickly. But
that is something that is a foreign feeling for
ultimate sign of respect.
Fans,
yeah, it's great.
You're like, you have to, as long as there's 30 seconds on the clock, I still think we can win.
I thought that the Cardinals should have picked up the pace, to be perfectly honest. But hey, they're nervous that Stroud's going to drive him down the field at the end of the game.
I don't hate the strategy.
It's not like the Texans' offense stalled much at all in this game. Most of the errors were self-inflicted. It was two pretty bad red zone interceptions, and then, of course, the throw that Stroud made to Robert Woods that bounced right off his hands and got picked off. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, and 92.5. Let's laugh at other NFL teams' misfortune because the Texans... Ain't no problems here. So, the Cleveland Browns, they're without Deshaun Watson the rest of the year. They did win over the Pittsburgh Steelers and Kenny Pickett on Sunday, 13-10. Interesting to note that the Steelers lost that game. The Texans are a basically because of a tiebreaker, the sixth seed in the AFC playoff race. Pittsburgh is the seven. Looks like they're not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. Did you hear Najee Harris, Steelers running back, after the game? All is not well in Pittsburgh.
Do you think everybody has that team first attitude?
Do I think everybody has a team first on this team?
Yeah.
I'd rather not talk about the team, I'd rather talk about me, my performance. You don't want to ask a question about me.
Guys, we have to go back to Pittsburgh. Thank you.
Guys, we have to go back to Pittsburgh. Don't make my running back throw his team under the bus. I bet I know who he's talking about. And call me wide receiver-cist, but George Pickens. George Pickens. That is my guess. Sean's laughing. I mean, it's a good guess.
It's crazy how good the Steelers are at picking wide receivers that are terrible team chemistry guys.
But great football players.
That are awesome football players. Honestly, Chase Claypool is the only one that's bad.
But he was good for a year.
He was good for them. Terrible teammate, but good for them.
What? He was a top three wide receiver by his own account.
Exactly.
So, Steelers lose to the Cleveland Browns. Joe Flacco's in the building now. That would be interesting to see if Joe Flacco leads the Browns to playoff success this coming year.
He's going to lead the Browns to the Super Bowl. Come on.
Maybe. Joe Burrow's officially out for the year. That was an interesting Friday news dump that happened after our show. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Chargers made the playoffs last year. Things are starting to get a little bit tight in LA after yet another very Chargers brand loss. Head coach Brandon Staley was asked if he's going to continue to call defensive plays. Here's what he had to say.
So you can stop asking that question, okay? I'm going to be calling the defenses, okay? So we're clear. So you don't have to ask that again.
Now you got to ask it again. Trolling 101. How to deal with trolling 101. Don't tell someone to stop asking a question. Don't do it. Losing to the Packers is pretty
tough. Tough stuff, especially when it's like
Jordan Love throwing for 322 yards on you.
When you're the defensive coach calling plays, Don't tell anyone that I'm not calling plays. I am calling plays. I'm calling all these stinky plays that's making Jordan Love look awesome. That's tough. He's the most fired coach in the league right
now,
right?
How is he still going? I don't get it. They fired Marty Schottenheimer after he went 14-2. And they brought this guy back after an all-time collapse in the first round of the playoffs against the Jaguars. One of the few sources I have in the NFL told me that the Chargers locker room is a joke. Like, no one is accountable. Everyone just shows up to team meetings whenever. It is a mess there. And then you got this wonderkind or wonder kid, because he probably thinks that's how it's actually said, just like in Ted Lasso. And this guy, I don't get it. How did he become a thing, and all of the nerds loved him and thought he was good because he goes for it on fourth downs and he went to some random school, and apparently this gave him some greater grasp of defense in the NFL
because he was a quarterback in college.
Yeah,
and now he's a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's garbage.
He has both sides.
I have no idea how he's still the head coach. Chargers right now are the, based off of tiebreakers, fourth worst team in the AFC. Lot of teams in that 5-5 to 4-6 window. That would be the Colts, Broncos, Bengals, Raiders, Chargers, and Jets. Meanwhile, the top of the AFC, we're going to see what the Kansas City Chiefs bring to the table. Tonight's game, Monday Night Football. That's a good one against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Ravens won again, but you know, we saw that on Thursday where, hey, they won, but was that more about the Bengals having a rando playing quarterback for the second half of that game? The Jaguars are the 3 seed right now. The Dolphins won? Look, I don't think that this is going to be a long run in the playoffs for the Houston Texans, but I look at the playoff picture, and I'm having a hard time seeing them miss the playoffs right now.
Well, also, it's like, you look at these teams, and all of them, you're like, I don't know. And
Kansas City is the only one of those teams where I feel very confident that they would beat the Texans in a game.
But, like, by definition, like, half these teams that were like, well, you know, Dolphins, Ravens, I mean, the Browns, Steelers, Texans, Jaguars. Like, one of those teams is going to make the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
They, like, have to. They literally have to. So, and two of those teams are going to make the divisional. Two more of those teams are going to make the divisional round. Like, these teams are going to win playoff games.
I don't want to be two sunshine and rainbows with the Texans, especially after a game where the offense shot itself in the foot a lot. But assuming that they shoot themselves in the foot a little bit less, I don't see any of those teams outside of Kansas City as clearly better than them. I mean, C.J. Stroud in another game against the Baltimore Ravens. Next time around, don't you think he would be better? Don't you think the offense would be better? Because they had some struggles in that game. But defensively, they looked really good against Lamar Jackson. Defensively against Kyler Murray yesterday, they did very well. They're good against mobile quarterbacks. Paul Galacho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. You can also join us on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Up next, a bummer development over the weekend in Houston sports. And who's your favorite Houston Texan? You have to be a full hipster here. You can't pick C.J. Stroud. You can't pick Tank Dell. You got to be a hipster. And I want a hipster backing of your answer. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
On fourth down, Murray looking to throw. Throws to his right. Dortch is shy of the first down marker. And the Texans stop them. About a half a yard shy of the first down. Thomas Cashman in on the tackle.
Swarm! You know, that was a swarm. Nice play. Good job. Whether it's Blake Cashman or Christian Harris or insert Houston Texans defender yesterday, Steven Nelson, big deflection in crunch time. Derek Stingley Jr., an interception. Will Anderson, an actual sack? What? It was a really, I thought, good performance all around. Especially by the Texans defense. First drive of the game, the touchdown allowed by Jalen Petrie, not great. And okay, they allowed a touchdown in the second half as well. Definitely made Kyler Murray and the Cardinals earn it. But this dub is a D'Amico dub. And I have a question for you, because I think we all do this. We all like to be different. We all like to be special in our own way. You don't want to be, you know, mainstream. You don't want to be basic. When somebody goes up to you and asks you a question about your beloved Houston Texans and they say, hey, who's your favorite player? If you say C.J. Stroud, you're kind of basic. Because everyone's favorite player is C.J. Stroud. Duh! So you have to think of somebody that's your favorite player that's not C.J. Stroud. If you want people to believe you're a real Texans fan, you have to do it. I didn't make the rules, man. But I know that growing up, my favorite New England Patriot player, Troy Brown, embodied the Patriot way. Was he the best player in the Patriots? He was close to the best player in the Patriots. But you got to pick a hipster person to make people know you're serious. And then once that person goes mainstream, then you have to pretend you don't like them for no good reason at all, because that's what a lot of people in the world of music do. I liked them before they sold out. Would you have sold out in that same situation? I would have never sold out the integrity of my music. I would have never done that. I have a favorite Houston Texan, and it's not C.J. Stroud, and it's not Tank Dell. It's not Will Anderson. It's not Derek Stingley Jr. My favorite Houston Texan is now 100% Christian Harris after listening to him talk at his locker yesterday. Why do I say that? Someone went up to Christian Harris and told him that Blake Cashman had 19 tackles during the game. Not going to lie, I heard that and I was like, wait, 19 tackles? But Christian Harris had a much better reaction to this.
Cashman had 19 tackles.
Jesus Christ.
That's crazy.
That was my laugh in the background, and that was an authentic laugh. That wasn't a, you know? It wasn't one of those. That was an authentic chuckle.
It was an authentic media laugh.
I legitimately lolled there. I lolled. Christian Harris is my guy. Christian Harris, I would argue, was better than Blake Cashman yesterday. Not to say Blake Cashman wasn't good. Cashman was awesome. Yeah. But I thought Christian Harris was better. And I thought the two of them, in a game where Denzel Perryman was suspended, they really stepped up. It's not easy to keep a guy like Kyler Murray in check. And those two, Cashman continuing what he has done since training camp, and Harris picking off where he kind of left off last year, they're a great tandem. And I just like hearing Christian Harris talk, not going to lie. Mainly, I mean, is taking the Lord's name in vain bad? Some would say yes. But if you've listened to this show long enough, you know that's a bad habit of mine. And I like that somebody else is down on my level there. Also, when asked about Sunday's game against the Jaguars, Christian Harris, he's got all that Sabanism in him. Here he is just referencing Nick Saban casually because they're focused still.
I mean, I remember Saban talking about rat poison, so I don't listen too much about, like, the crowd noise and all that. Like, I mean, we got a job to do. We got to come in here every day, and, I mean, you got to prepare every single day for it. So, I mean, we get to that opportunity, you know, maximize it and get the job done.
Is it rat poison or something pretty damn cool to hear MVP chants?
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. That was hard. Yeah, MVP chants in the stadium was hard. That was lit. It kind of felt like a movie. It was cool.
What's the key to chasing after a quarterback like Kyler Murray?
I mean, God blessed me with some speed, so, I mean, you know, it's still a little tough. He got out on me one time, but he's a great quarterback. You know, he has all of the attributes, all the athletic abilities. So, I mean, he's a great, great quarterback.
I like Christian Harris. So, Christian Harris, my favorite Houston Texan. How about that? Number 48 in the program, number one in my heart. That is my hipster choice for favorite Houston Texan. Someone commented, Hackashack on the Twitch, favorite Texans player, Dare Ogunbowale.
That's a good one.
He does everything demanded of him, and he doesn't ask for the glory.
That is a good hipster pick.
Yeah.
To be like the fourth string running back.
That's a real hipster pick. You're a real one.
Special teams specialist.
Don't you love the people that act like they don't want the glory? Like Eddie Vedder?
I feel like that was a thing, like all those, like, in the 90s especially, it felt like it was like you get
I don't want to be famous.
You get shamed for, like, being a successful musician.
If you want to know about the history of grunge, like, people thought that Kurt Cobain was real, and it definitely helped that Kurt Cobain, you know, like,
had
as far as
career.
Establishing realness, right. Where Eddie Vedder, I mean, he has that song Corduroy where he's singing about how the same corduroy jacket that he wears is now going for like $300, but he loves that. You know that Eddie Vedder loved that.
I mean, yeah.
Eddie Vedder is about the glory.
Of course he loves it. He lives in a nice house. He gets to, like, not have to worry about things. That's nice cars. If he really didn't like it, he wouldn't take the money. He would stop making music.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you really are just sick of all this attention.
Give away your music for free.
The funny thing is, Pearl Jam's still playing and still making new songs. And I love Pearl Jam. Don't get me wrong. I think Pearl Jam's one of the best bands ever. However, Eddie Vedder, there's an air of I think, fraud when it comes to, like, I don't want any of this attention.
Yeah. I'm glad we got to the like, nope, just literally get rich or die trying.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Speaking of hipster favorite Texans, someone texted Connor Barwin Antonio Smith. Antonio Smith was a great one. Antonio Smith was hilarious, and he once tried to beat up Richie Incognito with Incognito's helmet. No one talked about that the same way they talked about Myles Garrett, which was as if Myles Garrett committed assault, and that happened on Sunday.
Yes, yes, he referenced it. They did a callback. Myles Garrett, there's a...
He found a helmet on the ground, yeah, and he picked it up.
Yeah, there's a Steelers helmet just rolling around.
And a Steeler player came over to him and said, like, no, 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 you gotta put that thing down.
He did the palms up. It was very funny.
That was a very funny moment in that game. Other nominees. Hipster Texans. Someone said that they went to a hotel in Springfield, Illinois yesterday. The front desk clerk was wearing a Matt Schaub jersey. Now, that's just weird. I'm not going to lie. That's, like, maybe that person is a Houston Texans fan. And they're living in Springfield, Illinois. Shout out to you. But that's a little weird. It's a little out of place. There's this terrible movie called You Got Served as well. And I remember for whatever reason, I think during the end credits, I could not help but focusing in at like an LA mall. There's a person wearing a David Carr Houston Texans jersey. It's just walking around. I'm like, get out of here.
Hell yeah.
That's a real one.
Yeah, day one. Day one fan.
Mm-hmm. So that would be a hipster choice now.
Yeah, because now it's like... There's no...
He never got a fair chance.
Yeah, there's no one that bought that jersey, like, recently.
Right.
Not even, like, relative... Like, even, like, the last 3 years that David Carr started for the Texans, no one was, like, going out and be like, I really like this guy.
No. We got to find it. Do you have a David Carr jersey? 713-780... You do!
I thought that was a hypothetical. I mean, it was when I was, what, like, six?
Oh, damn.
Eight, maybe?
Damn, dude. Hey, that's pretty hard. That's
yeah.
Pretty hard. Yeah. Paul Gallant
does not fit.
It doesn't fit anymore?
It's like a youth small, probably. Youth medium.
It's turning into a crop top.
Paul Gallant. Like play for the Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Bring it back. It's the 80s, baby. 713-780-3776. To call in and text, and you want to weigh in on the Texans' victory yesterday. I thought it was a D'Amico dub. Guess what? Lots of sunshine, lots of rainbows. Everything's good for your three wins in a row Houston Texans before they play the Jaguars on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you why one of the biggest failures of yesterday's game was actually a success. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya game powder.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. It would be a pity to damage yours.
Oh, Wesley, darling.